The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Here are your hosts, editor-in-chief at arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney, and former Chiefs linebacker, Sean Barber.
You hear the drums, and you know what that means. It's time for your favorite hour of the week, and that's Arrowhead Pride Radio. I'm Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, across from Sean Barber, the player. And behind the glass, we have Dusty, the American Dream, Likens. On a day, a trade deadline we thought might be exciting for the Chiefs, maybe, just maybe, that they would make a move. They did not. We'll get to that in just a second, but before we do, Sean, tell me something good.
Tell you something good. Hey, man, I know this is the best hour of radio because I asked all six of my kids.
Yeah.
And my wife and my mom and dad. I sent them the...
That's 9 votes. How many have said that this is the best hour of radio then?
We're 9-0 right now, baby. We're undefeated. Better than the Rams. Better than the Rams.
Good to know. Good to know going in. So let's get into this trade deadline. I want to go move by move of the big ones, only the big ones, and just look at it. If it works for a Chiefs perspective, if not, we'll just decide if we like it for a given team. I think the first big move of the day was Golden Tate being traded from the Lions to the Philadelphia Eagles for a third round pick. This was not a move the Chiefs were ever going to make, but do we like it for the Eagles?
I love it for the Eagles. Listen to some of the comments by my man Howie Roseman. He made it plain and simple to say, right now, it's one model and one mentality up in NovaCare. That's where the Eagles practice. All gas.
Little known fact.
All the time. Their foot is on the gas all the time. They're trying to win a Super Bowl every year, not rebuild, not for a moment. They're just retooling. They're going to give Carson Wentz as many opportunities to win a Super Bowl in the first 5 years of his career as possible. So I like it. I think that Alshon Jeffries, even though he is a great receiver, he does get winded at times. He doesn't seem like he runs routes full speed all the time. And you get this little hummingbird that goes around the field like my man Golden Tate, man. He's everywhere. He's an awesome wide receiver. He's able to do everything. So
the tweet from Golden Tate with the Rocky hands up, the GIF in front of the Philadelphia steps with his hands up, he's excited to go to Philadelphia. Another move we saw today, kind of has to do a little bit with the Chiefs. Really, the Broncos, I think, waving the white flag, sending Demaryius Thomas to the Texans for a fourth-round pick, the team swap, 2019 seventh-rounders. This wasn't a move the Chiefs were going to make. This wasn't a move the Broncos would ever make, send Demaryius Thomas to the Chiefs. Do we like it for the Texans? And then how about the Broncos giving up on DT?
I do like it for the Texans with the injury coming to the young
Will
brother.
Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller being out for the season. Demetrius Harris.
We got Demetrius on the Chiefs.
Oh, Lord.
Mr. Demaryius.
Demaryius Thomas.
A Texan now.
Yeah, is now a Texan. I think he fills that role perfectly. He's at a point in his career where he's able to kind of sit down and they can fill each other out over the next 8 games and figure out, is that something they want to commit long term to? I think he will be a perfect complement to my man D Hop, who is one of the, I think, top 3 or 4 best wide receivers in the league this year. So Demaryius Thomas is thumbs up, going to be a thumbs up player for the Houston Texans that I think right now are number one in the AFC South.
This makes the Texans a little bit more interesting. They were 0-3. Now they're 5-3. They're 5-0 in the last 5 weeks. I think it's interesting for DT. DT goes from being a Bronco, flies to Houston, prepares for the Broncos, and flies back to Mile High to play on the opposing team. The Broncos are planning to honor him. I was saying they need to make a little bit of a special of that, mic them up for the week and see what that'd be like. But I doubt that happens, knowing everything that's surrounding the NFL and how hard that is to accomplish being on the inside. Running back and wide receiver Ty Montgomery fumbles away his Packers career on Sunday. He goes to the Ravens for a bag of beans, a seventh-round pick in 2020. I think we could just skip this. Do you have any quick comment about Ty Montgomery?
I do, because I think the important part about this is I think the special team coach told him not to return it. I think that's the news being leaked
out. That's like that Tyreek Hill, or not even Tyreek Hill. It'd be like D'Anthony Thomas saying, you know what, Uncle Dave? You can go screw yourself. I'm bringing this ball out
to the house, baby. I'm about to make like I don't think y'all like me anyway. I think y'all trying to get rid of me. I'm hearing trade rumors. If I touch the ball, I'm coming out. So, I mean, I kind of blame the special team coach for putting him back there. If you know this guy's a little disgruntled, man, just put anybody back there who you can trust. It's lack of trust, that's a whole nother story.
Here's where it gets interesting. And this, if you're a Chiefs fan and you really wanted them to make a move today. Hope you're sitting down. If you're driving, maybe you should pull over. Safety, ha-ha, Clinton Dix. No laughing matter, Sean. Traded from Green Bay Packers to the Washington Redskins to go help Alex Smith for a 2019 fourth-round pick. PFF tweeted out right away the top two safeties in the league, in their eyes, are Swearinger and Clinton Dix. They're now both on the Redskins. A lot of Chiefs fans, I think, will say, well, why not do this? Two reasons right off the bat. The Chiefs don't have a 2019 fourth rounder because of that Reggie Ragland deal, so they would have had to figure it out and navigate that as far as value goes. And a second reason, I turned to Yahoo Sports' Therese Paler, who was on the Drive 2-6 earlier today. We just were on with those guys about why Earl Thomas a few weeks ago was the move and not Clinton Dix. Earl Thomas, of course, going down with a broken leg, so that went away. Here's why Therese Paler says Earl Thomas was the move, not Clinton Dix.
And the reason that was the perfect move was because he was a complement to Eric Berry, not a duplication of skills, which is what ha-ha Clinton Dix is. Now, you can say, hey, having two Eric Berrys is great. Great. Yeah, but number one, they don't have a fourth-round pick. But number two, to outbid them, you have to surrender like a third. Mike, this is a great defensive draft. And, again, in this scheme, for the high safety, that's more of a position about cover and like erasing the deep ball and like playing single high, and like that's a cover player. That's Earl Thomas. That's who you were going to get. You know, Ha-Ha's not really that guy. You know, he's a box guy. You know, he's a box guy like Eric. And guess what? You got another box guy coming back in Daniel Sorensen. So that's three box guys. Enjoy that. Have fun. You know, not trading for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is the right move.
Sean, you agree?
No. Okay. I mean, I'm cutting blank and simple with it. Like, I think most people think that, like, corners are corners, safeties are safeties, a free can't be a strong, a cover corner can't be a deep zone corner. Like, there are all this X's and O's. You need five or six X's and O's back there in the secondary to cover different areas of the field. They all have to be good players. They all have to be solid football players. If you give me two Eric Berrys out there on the field, I guarantee you the defense will be good. If you give me two Deion Sanders, if you give me two of anything that's good.
Has anyone thought of this? Maybe just clone these guys.
Just get you
a new Eric Berry over there.
The position as far as the way the defenses are right now, it's just not as vanilla as it used to be, where the same guy always played the deep and the same guy always rolled into the box. I think back when when I played for the Redskins and Eagles, that was the defense. Like Brian Dawkins was the box safety. He was the guy, the heavy hitter, the blitzer. Mm-hmm. And then they let any other safety that joined the team be the free to play the deep side and stuff like that. But I think the way that the defenses have start going now in Bob Sutton's defense, you have to be able to do both. You got to be able to rock and roll the safeties with the amount of shifts and motions. If you always bringing the same guy down, and they can tell which defense you're in because you're always bringing your strong safety to, you know, 5 yards off the box or 2 yards outside the hash, anything like that tells the quarterback a little tip about what defense you're in, you're doing yourself a disservice. So it's just X's and O's. Everybody has to be able to play almost every position.
So in your eyes, a world of Daniel Sorensen, who I expect back either this week or next week, Eric Berry, who the Chiefs expect back. I don't want to say I expect back because I have no idea what's going on with that situation. And Clinton Dix would have worked out So maybe you send Jordan Lucas packing, I guess. So then you have that package and Eric Murray and maybe Ron Parker still on the team. And that could have worked, you think, for the Chiefs. And that could have been a better defense than they have now.
I like Lucas. I wouldn't have got rid of Lucas.
Who's that odd man out there?
You tell me. You mentioned
it'd have to be. It has to be Ron Parker or an Eric Murray at that point. I know after this week, a lot of people would be calling for Ron Parker.
You said it, not me. I
tend to agree that I think you bring on the talent if you don't feel you have that. I think the Chiefs, we've been kind of repeating it all week and so on and so forth. You probably heard it quite a bit on this radio station earlier today, is I just think they believe that Eric Berry is their midseason acquisition, and that's why they weren't willing to give away that future capital. I want to move on to the final big move of the day, though, Sean, and that was for defensive end Dante Fowler Jr., traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Los Angeles Rams for a 2019 third-rounder and a 2020 fifth-round pick. Richest deal when it came to draft picks today. What did you make of this move?
Man, Dante Fowler is a beast. He's a guy that covers a lot of ground. He's an intense hitter. He's an impact player. Pass, run, plays, you know, all downs. I mean, just a very high-level elite linebacker in the league right now. With my man Hitman, 5'3", going out with the ribs, you could see that being a position of need. But we got some young guys who I think our scouts have done a great job of acquiring. My man Ben Neiman, the Hawkeye, having an opportunity to get him in there and getting in the mix. DOD.
Good you mentioned these guys, because I think you may see him this week. The reports had said that Anthony Hitchens may miss a few weeks with severely bruised ribs. Andy Reid kind of refuted that. I think we'll get more clarity tomorrow. I'd say if you don't see Hitchens practicing tomorrow, you'll get a big dose of Ben Neiman on Sunday, but go ahead.
When you're playing a linebacker position, if you can't take a full breath without your ribs hurting, it's going to limit the type of intensity that you hit another man with. So if the Hitman can't be the Hitman, I don't want him out there. I want to wait until he's able to go full speed.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, doesn't sound like he's going to be ready. So I expect Double R to go out there. My man DOD, like I was saying, Doriel Daniels, they have a good, like you heard Coach Mark say on the radio, he got a package of things that he does very well, so they can go out there and let him do his thing. But I don't have a problem with having three safeties and three DBs going, you know, six guys in the secondary, five guys up front, and just letting that package roll all game and just continue to force the offense to do what you want them to do. You go nickel dime, you go these sub packages and force them to run the ball, and you just come downhill, you know, laying that Rydell on people.
The thing that I like about the Rams going to get Fowler is they didn't necessarily need him, you know, and everyone in Kansas City, or not everybody, but a lot of people who defended the Chiefs not moving here will say, well, you know what, they're 7-1. Well, guess what? The Rams are 8-0, and they just went to get a top five pick because they feel like there was a need. I like the attitude of the Los Angeles Rams going and getting a Dante Fowler, and to me, they're showing, you know we have a Super Bowl window here. We know the NFL is wide open this year. We don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl. Let's go and get it.
The Rams doubled down by getting Pat and then going and getting Tlaib. Then they tripled down by getting Sue when they already had Aaron Donald. Now they done put all their chips in on Dante Fowler. So it's after this year is over, what are they going
to
do?
It's like the top player in your fantasy league picking on the dumb guy in 12th. It's exactly what happened today. When we come back, Landon Collins' value was released via Twitter. We'll get into Landon Collins and the other piece of this. We'll dig a little bit deeper into Eric Berry. That's all next.
Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Arrowhead Pride Radio, editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney sitting across from the linebacker, Sean Barber, bringing it till 7 o'clock when Jay Binkley, Bink at Night, takes over. I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about the lack of moves at the trade deadline for the Chiefs. One player that was available that we didn't see go was a player we had talked about, I think it was on Show and Vern on Friday, Sean. And that was Landon Collins of the New York Giants. This from Ralph Vecchiano of SNY New York on Collins. The Giants were asking a little bit too much for me, so teams just kind of backed off. Collins had heard the Giants wanted a first or second round pick in 2019, plus a pick next year. Is that too rich for you for Landon Collins?
Well, I mean, I just wanted to make a, you know, let's just talk about this. When you're a team and you're 7-1, 8-0, you're one of the top teams in the league. I consider that a team that should be trading from a position of power and leverage. You don't let teams demand to you what you're going to pay for a certain. Like, I'm good. We're heading for the playoffs. We don't need this additional. Obviously, our team is good enough to win without him. Now your team, which is headed for ruins, and the guy probably will not resign with you anyway. I'm doing you a favor by getting this guy and giving you a couple trade, you know, draft picks. So if I want to give you a third or fourth draft pick for this guy, and you're demanding a first and a second, we play a game of chicken, and the time runs out, and you go ahead and have him for the rest of the year, and I'll get him next year or something like that. I mean, when I go back to the Fowler trade, I just think the Rams really gave up way too much for him because they're undefeated. Like, they didn't need this guy.
Unless they win the Super Bowl, then there's no price. You know what I mean? I know it's hindsight, and you can't determine that. But if they go and win the championship this year, every move you made, you could have traded three first-round picks would have been fine.
See, I don't agree with that. Because what I'm saying is that I think that the Rams are good enough to be in the Super Bowl right now. I think the Chiefs are good enough to be in the Super Bowl. So even without making any moves, what you're doing is trading away the future for something that you think is going to bring you present-day success when you might already got it. The team might already be good enough to go win a Super Bowl.
But you can't say that about this Chiefs defense.
I can say that. 21st in points. It's about points. Don't talk to me about no yardage. I don't want to hear about no turnover. No, I don't want to hear about anything except for the points on that scoreboard. 21st. Ranked 21st.
If you're the Chiefs, though, and you've seen the defense, I mean, it was bad at the beginning of the year. They've admitted that. The tackling was bad. But you've seen the past few weeks, it's been good performances against the Jags and the Bengals. I thought you had a passable performance against the Broncos. You're thinking about the future on deadline day. I think the Chiefs must have thought, we're a player away, and that player is Eric Berry. That's what they had to have thought.
That could have been in somebody's mind. I think it just comes down to, if you like the guys in the locker room, why are you going to mess with the chemistry? I like the guys that I'm going to work with. I like the guys I'm coaching up. I like the guys that I see go take the field and wear our Chiefs uniforms and go play as hard as they can to get us to the point we are right now. Why do I want to bring in a Jacksonville Jaguar, Dante Fowler, who will mess all that up? Why do I want to bring in anybody that can mess up the chemistry we already have?
For what it's worth, Andy Reid has said since the beginning of this, these guys just need to play together, and they've stuck with that. They didn't go and get somebody. The disconnect for me, though, Sean, is 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was, a month ago, you were ready to go and get somebody, and then these performances over the past few weeks changed that in your mind, or was it a phantom Eric Berry report that, okay, he's going to be ready in a few weeks? I mean, we don't really know necessarily what it was, but what changed from when you were ready to go and get Earl Thomas to today?
I didn't want Earl Thomas at the price they wanted it.
Second-round pick?
I didn't want Earl
Thomas. One
for
one?
No. I said, I will give you threes and fours to get rid of and to get rid of some depreciating values, some depreciating athletes you ain't going to be able to sign anyway. Let them do somebody, and you see the Seahawks and turn things around now. They start running that ball. They're playing a little defense.
They're all right.
They're doing all right right now. So, they, you know, them getting rid of Earl Thomas, you know, is a little bit of a addition by subtraction. Maybe the team actually got better and started to unite and realize without Earl Thomas and all his, everything, me, shaking hands with the Cowboys.
I don't know about you, but I am not ready on this program on a nice day, on a Tuesday night, to go down the addition by subtraction road
addition
on a Chiefs program.
Subtraction.
Sean, the elephant in the room, not talking about it tonight. Clark Hunt spoke to the media yesterday, and speaking of Eric Berry, I was wondering, you know, what have we heard from the Chiefs? Is, you know, Eric Berry is literally day-to-day. He's literally day-to-day. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go and ask the owner. What is your interpretation of this? Because we haven't gotten anything literally day-to-day. Sir, it's been 79 days.
Well, it's no different than what you've heard from Andy or Rick Burkholder. It literally is day-to-day. I do know that nobody's working harder at his rehab than Eric. Eric's a young man who loves the game of football and wants to be out there on the field. And as soon as he feels he's ready, he's going to be out there.
Literally day-to-day.
Day to day.
It literally is day to day.
Hey, man, don't be playing the audio tricks and stuff. Okay? Let the man say what he said. He said it's day to day. Andy said
we've heard
day-to-day.
Now the words Rick literally day to day. Literally, no. It hasn't just been day to day. It's been literally day to day. It's been the longest day to day stretch in the history of the NFL. It has to be. and literally is on the index card that's handed to these guys when they get to the podium. And it's now become obvious to me.
I'm a man of good faith, man. No, you know, this was my faith.
You're a better man than me.
And when I pray and the Lord tells me something's going to happen in my life, then I'm faithful and I don't worry about which day it's going to come. I just know that blessing's going to come. So if the Chiefs kingdom feels like in their future, Eric Berry, the 2-9 is going to hit that field again, then don't worry about what day it's going to be, when you're going to receive that package. Just know it's going to be on time, when it's necessary, when it's needed for him to hit the field. And I suggest the Chiefs contact the Guinness Book of World Records.
Uh-oh.
Because if we think that 142.2 decibels can't be broken, you let the fan base know that Eric Berry going to touch the field.
I thought you were about to say that you want to know if we're breaking the day-to-day record of the amount of time missed being day-to-day. Because I think we have to be over it.
I'm not worried about the day.
Do you want to go to lunch tomorrow?
Day-to-day.
For the 80th day in a row of day-to-day?
Maybe.
Clark Hunt on whether he expects Berry to touch the field.
You know, I really don't have an expectation. That's a decision that Eric, along with our medical staff, is going to have to make, and I don't want to step in front of that.
Where'd you go?
He spoke the truth right there.
I miss you so.
Do you know how you know he spoke
like
the truth?
It's been forever since you've been gone.
You hear no disappointment in Clark.
Where'd you go?
Hunt's voice. You know why? Because he said it.
So.
I have no expectation. He doesn't. He's not expecting it to be next week or next month or when it's time, and when he's ready, Eric Berry will return to Arrowhead Stadium, and that's all he needs to hang his hat on. I like that. A man speaks the truth.
It literally is day to day.
It would be a good time for him to return, I think, in time for the Los Angeles Rams game, because if there's ever a team that you're going to need him to beat, especially given the fact that they now have Fowler added to that mix as well, it's against the Los Angeles Rams in Mexico.
You only need to be playing your best on February, whatever date it is.
That's true.
February 3rd, 4th. So if Eric Berry wants to come back on January the 31st, put a couple practices in, get ready for the Super Bowl, I'm cool with that. Whenever he is ready, same thing. Whenever these guys are ready to play at 7-1, I can wait. It's different when you 2-5 and the season about to go down the drain and you need these guys to come energize your team so you might be able to get back in, claw your way into a wild card. Right now, we have the best record in the AFC, home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
There he goes.
Speak on it. Speak on it. And so I'm expecting that to stay the same all through the rest of the season, for the second half of the season. So it's 0-0 right now. We 0-0. Browns on. Yeah, it's 0-0 right now. I just want us to get to that second. Let's turn the page. Put all that in the back. Everything, trade deadline's over. Nobody, no additions. So we ain't got to worry about no additions, no new people, no new friends.
Addition by no additions.
My peoples, my family, they know I don't do no new friends. No new friends.
Your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest plus Hot Take Tuesday. Next.
Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Arrowhead Pride Radio. Pete Sweeney hanging out with the linebacker, Sean Barber. American Dream. Dusty Likens behind the glass. Bring you to 7 o'clock until Bank at Night. It's Hot Take Tuesday. But before we get to Hot Take Tuesday, it's your chance to win $1,000 on the 30s in the National Cash Contest. Text the word FLOAT to 72881. That's FLOAT. Like the Modest Mouse song, Dusty has told me. Float on, but don't text float on. Just text FLOAT to 72881. Want Chiefs stock and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s? Only one station in Kansas City gives you both. Weekdays from 7 to 7, it pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. And your next chance to win is tomorrow at 7:30 a.m.
You ain't lying.
With Fesco in the morning. And it is officially Hot Take Tuesday, which I love. You like some hot takes, Sean?
Hey, man, I'm texting float right now. Hold on.
Yeah, text that in.
Yeah, I got to get that
and
money.
And we'll split the $1,000 and get some lunch tomorrow. You and me celebrating the 80th day-to-day of Eric Berry's career.
You and that day-to-day.
Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL Network was asked, what's more impressive, the Kareem Hunt hurdle or Todd Gurley's presence of mind not to score a touchdown leading to a Rams win?
I think Kareem Hunt's hurdle is a play like, you're like, wow, that's crazy, he jumped high.
But when you talk about football IQ and to win a game, as JJ was talking about, to win a game and have the wherewithal, the mindset to say, okay, I can go in here and score.
It had been damping up by nine.
And still we're going to win the game. But to take a knee and not put our defense back on the field, that's what makes this play special. He literally was like, all right, I got it. I got enough. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to mess around a little bit, then get down on the ground and protect the ball. That, to me, is what wins you championships, when you could do stuff like this. And they talked about it after the game, saying, "Masters, situational masters, mm-hmm. being masters of the situation." That, to me, is identical to what every football player should be able to do in those type of situations.
Maurice Jones-Drew, what are you talking about, man?
He has said he's a fantasy guru. Ain't nobody in fantasy wants Todd Gurley to take a knee when you down by 5 points and you need that 6 points to beat your opponent. You are yelling at the screen, throwing your remote, wondering why your number one overall pick, Todd TG30, didn't score that touchdown. So luckily I was up by 31 on my fantasy league with my boys back at home in Richmond, Virginia. But
I don't know if Maurice realizes this, but Kareem is still in the air. We haven't seen him touch the ground yet. From the hurdle at Arrowhead Stadium. Max Kellerman on ESPN's First Take. Whether or not the Chiefs have now a clear path to make it to the Super Bowl.
No, it's not just the Patriots that you got to look at. The Chargers. Mm-hmm. Look, the Chiefs are going to get better defensively, I think, because they have some athletes on defense and they've had some injuries, and they're getting better as the season goes on. Right now, the Chiefs are first offensive efficiency. Yep. 26th defensive, and I expect that to improve. But the Los Angeles Chargers, I said oh, no. Los Angeles that mm-hmm. time, are third in offensive efficiency, mm-hmm. third in offensive efficiency, and 17th in defensive efficiency, and they don't have Bosa yet.
You're fearing the Chargers?
And they don't have Bosa yet. Oh, my goodness, Max Kellerman. This is the team. We beat the Chargers like 80 times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Who is? What you mean? That's the road bump? Man, get that pebble out of here.
Little known fact about the Chargers, where you're saying 80 times in a row. I believe the last time the Chargers beat the Chiefs, Mr. Chase Daniel was the quarterback.
Come on, man. Come on, Max. He should have came better than that. I mean, everybody knows it's a two-man race in the AFC. It's us and the Patriots. And basically, whoever has the ball last wins the game.
No fear from you on the Texans?
What? Texans? Come on, man.
They're hot.
Get out of here.
Last hot take for Hot Take Tuesday. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network on the Chiefs defense gaining a little confidence.
Now we're starting to see this Chiefs defense, though, with Dee Ford coming off the edge, with Jones coming inside, creating some havoc, getting some turnovers.
If Eric Berry could come back.
Oh, that would be huge. But you see this group just gaining confidence as the season goes along. And Dee Ford, he's picking the right time to have a big year. He's going to get some big money next year.
Sean, you worked with these guys during training camp. You think this Chiefs defense is finally coming around here?
Daniel Jeremiah got it just right. I should quote some Jeremiah something with him, but
not
that kind of radio. I'm feeling the positive Bob-sativity.
Oh, no.
Is flowing through the roof. It's flowing through the stadium. All the guys on defense are feeling it. They're feeling what Bob is. They feeling what he's putting down. They picking up what he's putting down. Bob-sativity is. Got everybody playing together. It's fear nothing, attack everything mentality. It's a mindset. It's that defense against the world. They know where they were preseason picked to finish. They know all the doubters thought that if they couldn't do it, it was because the defense wouldn't get it done. And he just got those guys getting closer and closer, tighter and tighter, until at the end of the season, they're going to be like a fist. And that fist is going to go right upside Tom Brady's head and knock the Patriots out the playoffs.
Hot Take Tuesday Hot take. Ends with a lecture by Mr. Barber. I got a question for you.
What up?
Where did you buy those rose-colored glasses? Because I think I want a pair.
Oh, man. Listen, these rose-colored glasses are the same rose-colored glasses that saw the Chiefs.
I know. It's true.
Scoring.
I know what you're about to say.
35 there points a game. Yep. When everybody else laughed and giggled and made me go take a peace test.
I would say it was a chuckle. It was
thought
a chuckle.
I was went to Denver and got high. They thought all these other things, but no. It was simply going to training camp and seeing the offense go to work, seeing the high network of mental capacity of our quarterback. That's Showtime Mahomes. When offenses and defenses, when they're going like you see in training camp, the amount of information that was just dumped on him to learn, and he picked it up, and he kept going. He didn't slow down. Most quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, say, "Coach, that's enough. Give me one package a day. Give me I can't do all these game situations." He couldn't get enough. Do you remember in The Matrix when Neo was getting downloaded and he started learning all that program? That's Patrick Mahomes learning the Chiefs offense. He said, "Download it, baby. Give me all, Neo. Give me all you got, man. I want the whole Matrix in my brain." He got it all. He's tuned in.
Good to know that's what he's thinking about.
He's ready to roll. My man Pat Mahomes is taking us all the way to the big game, the big show, baby.
Sean, I know you got to get out of here at 6:40, but before we do, you weren't on the postgame show the other night, other duties. What were your thoughts coming away from the Denver game and then moving forward to Cleveland?
I liked what I saw. I liked the fact that the Chiefs got rid of a divisional foe that usually gives them some trouble. Denver came in trying to run the ball, trying to set up a, hey, we're going to just possess we're going to take the air out of the ball. And for a quarter, it might have worked, but then eventually the Chiefs, they turned the tide. Trying to come to Arrowhead Stadium mm-hmm. and deal with the Sea of Red is pretty much too big for any offense, including Tom Brady and the Patriots. All we have to do is continue to have home field advantage, and I think that's a – unlike Max Keller, the
Max
clear
Keller
path.
Man. Max Keller.
Max Kellerman. Max headroom. there is a clear path to the Super Bowl, and it comes right down I-70.
Uh-oh.
Into the kingdom.
Here it goes again.
The Sea of Red will be waiting for whoever wants to come and get a little bit of Andy Reid, Big Red, Bob Sativity, and anybody else that's part of this team. It comes right down 70, and you got to come see us at home, baby. The Chiefs are ready to roll. Playoff bound, baby.
Former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber, Arrowhead Pride analyst. How can the people follow you on Twitter?
Oh, at SeanBarber59. And for everybody that wants to know, all you got to do is if you want a piece of the champion, you got to walk that aisle. Woo! Just like the Nature Boy. You got to walk
Sean
that
Barber
aisle.
That Sean Barber drip. That Sean Barber drip.
And I'm out.
Arrowhead Pride's Sean Barber. We go from the former linebacker to our lead film and draft analyst. His name is Kent Swanson. Kent, you watch more Patrick Mahomes than anyone else in the city. Today you had your Something Good, Something Bad article. Tell us a little bit about something good and then something bad that you saw from Patrick Mahomes this past weekend.
You gonna make me follow Barber like that? that dude dropped off like that and I have to follow up with him?
We need you to keep the energy up now, yeah.
Good Lord, I don't have that much. He's older than me, too. Something good from Pat. I mean, there was a lot of good, actually. I mean, if you take away the first little half, like the first couple drives, the first drive of the game, then you take off kind of some of the rough stuff from the fourth quarter. I mean, he had a fantastic performance. The thing that I liked the most was seeing him connect with Sammy Watkins. He had a couple big plays to Sammy and a fantastic performance between the two. One of the throws that I thought was exceptional. You hit him on a deep in route about 20 yards down the field with some drive. Man, if Sammy and Mahomes is working along with Kelce Hill and Hunt, this team is going to be terrifying.
There's been some back and forth I've noticed on Chiefs Twitter and social media. If you're a hardcore Chiefs fan, you've probably seen it. We've definitely seen it on the Arrowhead Pride comment sections and even in the Twitter responses to the main account. There's a debate going on about whether Sammy Watkins is the real deal. Where do you fall on this situation?
Oh, Peter, you know where I fall on this. I think Sammy Watkins is, I think he'd be the best receiver on a 10, 15 teams in the league right now. And he's not getting the volume that other guys are, and he's not going to get the volume, and that's okay. His value is felt in moments like this, moments like Sunday when, you know, Kareem Hunt doesn't have a huge day. Tyreek Hill doesn't have a huge day. Travis Kelce doesn't have a huge day because Sammy Watkins isn't getting enough attention paid to him. You know, he creates problems where you can't tilt the field to one guy, or it makes it harder to guard, you know, two, three, you know, make it harder to guard, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce when you've got a guy in the backside that you know can win a route, win a matchup, win a one-on-one against a good corner. And so I think Sammy Watkins, for the opportunity he's been given, has been fantastic. He's been great after the catch. He's made some good plays so far, and he provides just another player for people to worry about. The offense in totality is partially due to the representation of what Sammy Watkins has been for this offense.
I'm going to ask you a hard question here about Watkins, because I think a lot of his value comes when he's not touching the football. Do you think the Chiefs are 7-1 if Sammy Watkins is not on this team, and instead they save that money and give it and keep a DeMarcus Robinson or a Chris Conley in the mix?
See, I don't think so. I think part of what is creating all these problems is the fact that there's another guy on the field that stresses defense. You know, if you watch the one game that Sammy Watkins effectively missed, that first Denver Broncos game, it was rough sailing for an extended period of time. Pat Mahomes figured it out, but I feel like these rough stretches might be a little bit longer and maybe last a whole game. You know, maybe the defense is a little bit better, but I mean, I feel like part of the reason that the offense has not missed a beat in most instances has been as a result of the amount of talent they have. And the drop-off between Chris Conley and Sammy Watkins is the drop-off between me and Andrew Wiley at right guard.
Oh, come on. I can see you in there.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know. What? I can hold my own in there.
Kent, you had something good and something bad on arrowheadpride.com today. What do you got as far as Mahomes goes the rest of the week?
I've got one of my favorite plays to write about all season coming up tomorrow. There's a play from Patrick Mahomes' performance yesterday on Something Smart, Something Special. We'll talk about it. It is one of my favorite throws of the year, and it's not getting enough attention. And then, you know, we'll have the Arrowhead Pride Laboratory up tomorrow as well. And then a third Patrick Mahomes piece on Thursday. A lot going on.
Very quickly, before I let you go, what are your quick and dirty trade deadline thoughts of Brett Veach standing pat?
I'm okay with it. You know, it would have been nice to try to get a guy like, you know, Earl Thomas, Landon Collins. You know, obviously Earl didn't work out, but, you know, it's going to be fine. The Chiefs have a ton of draft assets for next year. They can load up next year. And there's plenty of upside left in that defense. There's nowhere to go but up, right? So they're on their way up. Don't worry too much. There's plenty on this team to win a Super Bowl.
Would you feel the positivity that maybe a Craig Stout defensive film analyst is feeling right now?
I don't have a ton of positivity. It might be in spite of him if he's going to play Ron Parker over Jordan Lucas. But you still got EB coming. You got Justin Houston coming. There's plenty of stuff going on, man.
Kent is our lead film and draft analyst. You can catch his stuff at arrowheadpride.com. Thanks, Kent.
Thanks, buddy.
Kent, also the leader of something we call the Arrowhead Pride Nerd Squad, and you can hear them every single week on Bink at Night. Matt Lane, who specializes in special projects for us, they dig deep into the film. He'll be on at 7:30 tonight talking about a little bit Dee Ford. Craig Stout, 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And then Kent himself, as he wraps up Mahomes for the week, he's on at 6:30 on Thursdays. Again, it's Bink at Night. He's coming up at 7 o'clock. But before we get to Bink, we'll be reading your tweets. Get them in. Tweet us at Arrowhead Pride. I'll read them on the air and give a comment. That's next.
Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Arrowhead Pride Radio, editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney here, still hanging with the American Dream. Dusty Likens behind the glass, bringing it to 7 o'clock. And that's when Jay Binkley, who knows his football, he'll go on and get deep inside those X's and O's. I know he'll have plenty of thoughts about the Chiefs' lack of moves at the trade deadline. But before we get to Bink, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read some of your tweets. The first one comes from a guy named Andrew Hernandez. I said I'd read it first since he was so polite. Chargers. This is sensual. Thank you for this. This is really nice.
That's what I'm about, man.
Yeah, I like this. Chargers fan here. What is different between the red hot Chiefs of this year that separates them from the team that fizzled out in the second half of last season? And then in parentheses, sorry if you've already answered this. I'm sure it's a common topic of debate. Good luck and health this season. My God, so polite. I'm not playing, first of all, so I appreciate the good luck and health. I think I'll be healthy unless I continue eating so poorly. But to answer your question, I think the big difference between this year and last year is a guy named Patrick Mahomes. Last year's offense was built around Alex Smith and a lot of college concepts, and I think by week five, a lot of opposing defenses were able to figure it out. Mahomes, at least to this juncture, seems a lot better at making adjustments. Even in what is the second year of his career, Alex Smith has to be in his 13th or 14th year. Not to say that Alex Smith is having a bad year. The guy continues to win, of course, putting up the similar numbers that you saw that he put up as a Chief. But that being said, you got to hand it to him. I do like Alex Smith. All he does is win, doesn't put up dazzling numbers. But the reason the Chiefs have been so good has been because of Patrick Mahomes. And the only reason we're even talking about whether or not they're making moves to become a Super Bowl team is Patrick Mahomes and his ability to have really become an everyday quarterback in his first real shot at this. Credit to Andy Reid, credit to the offensive coaching staff, and credit to the kid for taking this so seriously. Now we go to some other tweets. Justin writes in, Sutton wouldn't have started a safety, haha, or Landon Collins over Ron Parker, Eric Murray anyway, so no reason to get upset at Brett Veach, a worthless defensive coordinator. There's a couple people in my staff, Craig Stout, defensive film analyst being one of them, who, like you, I'm sure, is wondering why Jordan Lucas was benched in the middle of the game last week against the Denver Broncos. This is something that I intend to ask Bob Sutton when we get an opportunity to talk to him on Thursday. Bob opting to go with Ron Parker and Eric Murray. I'm assuming that it had to do a lot with familiarity, but again, we'll get the words from the mouth of the most popular guy in Kansas City, Dustin, Bob Sutton. Britt Zank wants to know, why are people panicking over a non-trade when we are favorites in the AFC and only getting healthier? And I think it's because you saw what other teams did today. I mean, there are other teams that have been okay. I understand that the Houston Texans are going through some issues with a wide receiver, but they went and addressed it. I think you saw a Los Angeles Rams team who's 8-0, but still went out and got another asset to them, you know, and Adante Fowler. There's other teams that are right there as well that are still addressing issues, and I think there's been some issues on the defense that the Chiefs didn't really address. Alex asks, why didn't we give up a fourth for Clinton Dix? And it's because the Chiefs didn't have a fourth to give up, first of all. We talked about that a little bit earlier. They traded that pick, at least next year, for Reggie Ragland, who we're assuming has met all the conditions for that conditional pick to be gone. Someone asks, is Daron Sherry available? I don't think at this point that's the guy you want in there. Henry Allen asks, did Sean say Nemo was the guy from The Matrix? I think he did. I think he said Nemo.
I would bet for that, yes.
Was he thinking of Finding Nemo? This is a man with six children.
I don't know. What was his nickname for Bob?
He was just saying Bob's Activity.
Bob's Activity. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The claim among Arrowhead Priders is that there's not enough Bob's Activity in this city.
Okay.
Those are your tweets. I appreciate everyone who ended up writing in. Coming up next, man who loves the game of football. You want to hear his thoughts on the trade deadline. It's Jay Binkley. Next time we'll hear you, or you'll hear me, is the Arrowhead Pride tailgate as driven by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac. 10 a.m. this Sunday, we'll preview the Chiefs and the Browns. Can't wait. Pete Sweeney, Sean Barber, Dusty Likens. See you then.
This has been Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Coverage continues with articles, pictures, video, and interviews on arrowheadpride.com and 610sports.com.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission, or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.